Good evening, everyone. As always, it is a pleasure and an honor to be here amongst you all. To our visitors, we welcome you and we thank you for joining us this evening. I know on the screen it's a bit darker, but the scripture there reads 2 Kings 23:21 through 25. The reason I make the correction is because there was a typo as I emailed our sister. She typed what I sent her. The error was mine. So the scripture is not 2 Kings 2:21 through 25. It's 2 Kings 23:21 through 25. So I apologize for the typo, but I'm glad I was able to catch it to be able to correct it. Again, the error was mine. It was not Sister Constance. The scripture says the following. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, "Keep the Passover to the Lord your God, as it is written in this book of the covenant." Such a Passover surely had never been held since the days of the judges who judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, the Passover was held before the Lord in Jerusalem. Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spiritists, the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and in Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. I want you to pay close attention to this final verse. Now before him there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor after him did any arise like him. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our beloved Father, our King and our Lord, we bow, Father, before Thee with reverence, but also with great joy. Father, we bow before Thee with great gratitude, Lord, for without Thee, none of what is possible would be possible. Father, we are not deserving of the life that Thou hast given us. We are not deserving of the blessings that Thou provide us with, nor of Thy sustenance. But yet, Father, the thing that we are most undeserving is that precious blood of our Savior, Thy Son, Jesus Christ. We understand, Father, through Thy Scripture, that this all falls under Thy omnibenevolence, but also through Thy grace. And Father, as we continue to see the design that Thou handeth mankind for a godly home, please, Father, help us understand how those family values sometimes, Father, cannot be passed on, and yet they can still be achieved. That we, Father, may be able to learn from Josiah, and that we, Father, may be able to imitate Josiah, that great king, Father, that Thou word itself teaches us, that never before him or after him was one who loved Thee with such a heart. That we too, Father, may love You with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our hearts, giving ourselves always over to Thee in a holy sacrifice, seeking, Father, Thy approval. Forgive us when we have sinned, forgive us when we have failed Thee. And we pray this in the precious name of Thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning we spoke about the precious heirloom. We spoke about heavenly wisdom and how it is something that should be passed on when it is received. How indeed this heirloom is not just something that should be sitting on our shelves, gaining dust or something that can be held in out of sentimental value. But rather it is a gift that truly keeps on giving. It is a gift that multiplies and will continue to sustain life and give life. But tonight we're going to see what happens when that gift is not given. What should take place when the parents never received wisdom? When they did not receive and therefore cannot give to their children the wisdom? You see, the reality is that in our world, sadly, we have homes where the fathers and the mothers are not members of the Lord's church. There are members that here whose parents didn't even know what the church was. Some mighty Christians that I've had the privilege to know in my life whose parents were perhaps not a godly example. They claimed to be Christians, but with their actions, says Titus, they denied it. Members who believed that they were because they wanted to believe, but it wasn't enough because they did not abide by the law of God. When we talk about the title, Stepping Out of the Shadow, this is why I wanted to make the correction, even though when I read it, I will not lie, I was tempted to stick to Elisha to cover my mistake. But the reality is that Josiah is whom I wanted to speak of. Because Josiah shows the complete opposite and at the same time the practice of Proverbs 4. Because he stepped out of his father's shadow. He stepped out of his grandfather's shadow. Both men whose shadow loomed over Israel through idolatry, through wickedness and through evil influences. We see how Amon, his father, was murdered. And we see how Manasseh, his grandfather, was such a wicked king that scripture says that he had passed one of his children through Moloch's arms. Meaning that he had placed his newborn on those brazen arms, those arms that were red hot because it was being burnt from within, offering his child and a sacrifice to that idol name of Moloch. Josiah, brethren, did not receive from his father that precious heirloom. What he inherited from them at the age of 8 was a kingdom that was in shambles, a kingdom that had been contaminated by sin. He had received an inheritance that was not something desirable. He inherited a kingdom that needed much reformation. What his great-great-grandfather Hezekiah had built and worked so hard to return to God, two descendants of his immediately destroyed, going back to sin. But you see, when we talk about Josiah stepping out of the shadow, we're not only referring to the wickedness of his father and grandfather, but we're also going to speak about the greatness of his great-great-grandfather Hezekiah. You see, verse 25 is why I asked you to please pay close attention to. Notice the great words spoken by the inspired penman here. It says, "Now before him there was no king like him." Within this "before him," that there was no king like him, was Hezekiah, his great-great-grandfather. Before him that was not like him was Solomon, the wisest king to ever live. Before him that was not like him was the very man whose heart was according to God, David himself. And how beautiful that God shows us through his word that Josiah, through his own merit, without the help or assistance and guidance of his father, without any kind of precious heirloom given to him, he was superior to all of them. But then how sad that he was the last great king of Judah. Because there was none after him. And indeed, the kings that came after him, well, they're the ones that finally made sure that Babylon would take them captive. And the kingdom of Israel would be no more. So when we read this passage, brethren, when we speak about this man, indeed, he is a great marvel. And in the conjunction of what we're talking about in regards to family values, Josiah's splendid brilliance cannot be ignored. Because as we said, unlike Proverbs 4 where Solomon had David, Josiah had Amon who was killed when he was 8. Thus he was left with his grandfather Manasseh, a man who had been wicked, a man who was not a good leader, a man who had destroyed what his father had done. And yet notice how Josiah was able to withstand an evil upbringing. Please turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, beginning at verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. Observe verse 2. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of his father David. Did you pay attention that David is called as his father? And says he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Here's why he was greater than David. For in the eighth year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. And in the 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the high places, the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images. They broke down the altars of the Baals in his presence, and the incense altars which were above them he cut down. And the wooden images, the carved images, and the molded images he broke in pieces, and made dust of them, and scattered it on the graves of those who had sacrificed to them. He also burned the bones of the priests on the altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so he did in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, and Simeon, as far as Naphtali and all around with axes. When he had broken down the altars and the wooden images, had beaten the carved images into powder, and cut down all the incense altars throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. Notice that Josiah was only 16. He was 8 years old when he was placed on the throne. And the Bible says that when he was at the age of 16, because 8 plus 8 is 16. Notice at the age of 16, Scripture says that he began to seek God. Well, the fact that Josiah began to seek God proves that he did not receive that precious heirloom of heavenly wisdom. Because if he had to seek God, then that means and it shows that the kings before him, his father and his grandfather, never brought him to God, never showed him God, or even explained to him whom Jehovah God was. Josiah grew up in an environment where he was taught or he was seeing wickedness, and it was seen as normal. When we go to 2 Kings chapter 23, we see how when Josiah was of age and he starts destroying everything, he not only destroys that, but he also destroys those temples that were filled with the priestess, meaning the harlots who would serve the kings through promiscuity. But this was the environment that Josiah was raised in. This was the home that he grew up in. He grew up in a home where fornication, adultery was seen normal. Where God was just another one of the gods. Where Jehovah was synonymous with Baal. He did not receive any kind of wise, godly instruction. And yet, he begins to outshine all of them. Because at the tender age of 16, Scripture says, when he was still young, he walked in the ways of his father, not Amon, his father David. Josiah, without a doubt, had some way or another heard about David's reign. He had been told, not by his lineage, not by his family, but he had been told about the things that David had done for the Lord God. But what's amazing about this, brethren, is that when we read this, we show that Josiah wanted to be like that king. Thus, this means that he did not want to be like his father. He did not want to be like his grandfather. He knew, he understood, that they were not good kings. He was able to recognize at a very early age that what he had been brought up in, how he had lived, was wicked in the sight of the Almighty. You see, brethren, even though many of us, or many of you perhaps, were not raised in a godly home, perhaps you were not even raised in a home that even understood who God is, Josiah proves to us that it isn't an excuse. God wants to be found, and he's ready to be found by whomever seeks him. Notice how Paul teaches this to the Athenians in Acts chapter 17. In fact, Paul tells them very directly that God wants to be found. He wants every human being to seek for him, and he is ready. He is right there, ready to be found. Even though Josiah was not taught by his father to seek the Lord, Josiah did indeed seek him. He was able to withstand that evil upbringing. He was able to outlast the wrong influences that he had received. He was able to survive in a toxic environment wherein the entire kingdom was okay with burning children on an iron or a bronze, statue that was red hot because it was being filled with fire. How cruel that Josiah at a young age was aware of the death of his brother through such a cruel, quote, religious practice. And yet Josiah understood, this is wrong. What my father and grandfather are doing is wrong. This is not what the Lord wants. When I read this, brethren, it brings to mind what 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 teaches us, beginning from verse 22 and forward, when we are told by that scripture that we are to fall, not neglect the prophecies, but then we are told to examine everything, and we are to keep that which is righteous. You see, Josiah examined the tradition of his fathers. He examined the ideology that was presented to him from these wicked priests that had been left over. He examined every kind of explanation he had received from those wicked men. He examined all the trainings and upbringings that he had received from his father and his grandfather. But he did not retain any of them because it was not good. He purged himself from them. He did not hold to their example, and he did not hold to the fact that they were his parents as a reason or as a crutch to explain his sin away. How often, brethren, when we are trying to bring the gospel to those, we will hear, well, no, I want to follow this belief system because my parents were the ones who followed it. No, I grew up in a home where we were always following and we were always taught to think this way. But the Bible teaches us that we have to learn how to examine everything by our own account. Josiah was brought up in the tradition of his fathers. Josiah was brought up in a religion of his fathers. Josiah was brought up and he was taught that what they were doing was what pleased God. But he individually and independently was able to see, no, my fathers are wrong. And I will not be like them. I will be like David, who was a man according to God's heart. Young men and young women, if you have parents who are not being a godly example to you, that does not justify your disobedience. That does not provide you with an excuse to say that this is why you have a lukewarm Christianity. On the contrary, if you can acknowledge that what your parents are doing, the example that they are providing, is wrong, then understand that you have been chosen by God to correct it. Because that's what Josiah did. Josiah corrected the errors of his father. He purged the land. Observe how Scripture says there in verses 4 through 7 that Josiah personally supervised the destruction and the demolishment of all of those idols. You know, when I read in the history books, according to biblical historians, they say that this took anywhere from a year to a year and a half for him to accomplish. So for approximately a year to a year and a half, Josiah was away from his throne, ensuring that idolatry was completely abolished, making sure that all the errors of his father were being corrected. How incredible that old Josiah was honoring his father who was dishonorable. And yet he did so by honoring God first. He did so by following and abiding by God's law. He destroyed everything that his father had constructed in regards to idolatry. He made sure that there was no way that it could be rebuilt. And even though this is what was handed out by his father, this is what his father had used and his father had constructed, Josiah destroyed it, purging the land of the wickedness of his father. But we see, brethren, that he repaired his broken home. Turn now in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning at verse 18. 2 Kings chapter 22, beginning at verse 18. But as for the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, in this manner you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel, concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender, and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse, and you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I will bring on this place. So they brought back word to the king. Now the king sent them to gather all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem to him. The king went up to the house of the Lord with all the men of Judah, and with him all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the house of the Lord. Then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. Notice how Josiah repaired his broken home. What his own kin had broken down. The hard work that Hezekiah had put in, the reforms that Hezekiah had been able to achieve, his son and his grandson had completely decimated it. They had left Judah, the kingdom of the south, in a great shame. And when they find the book of the law, and when they read it to Josiah, remember that he had to seek for the Lord, meaning then that this completely makes sense why he did not know about Jehovah as he should have. But when this book was found, and when he heard of what his lineage had done, when he heard what his predecessors had done, Josiah did what Manasseh and Amon did not. He tore his clothing. He wept. And he said to be consoled, for Jehovah to be consulted. What shall we do was the question. He repaired the house. The home that his father had neglected. The home that his father had destroyed. Josiah rebuilt it. Josiah put it back into its place. He gave back to the Lord what was his. And what his father did not do, he did. He made amends for what his family had done. He restored the damages done to the Lord. He repaired the relationship between the kingdom of Judah and Jehovah God. And although if you continue to read in Scripture, we see that God would still bring his wrath upon Judah. Notice how because of Josiah's humility, because of Josiah's spiritual reaction, because of Josiah's godliness that he did not learn from his father, but rather he learned from God himself, God delays the punishment. Scripture says that Josiah ruled in Judah for 31 years. This means then that that kingdom was given 31 more years as an opportunity to change, as an opportunity to improve, thanks to their father, the king Josiah. Remember when we spoke about Esther as a mother, who as a queen tended to her people? Well, the same is true for Josiah as a king. He was being a father to the kingdom of Israel. Notice how first he repents. Notice how first he seeks God and he asks for God's forgiveness and he inquires as to how can they restore what was broken. But then in verses 23 and forward, verse 2 through 3, observe how he brings, if you will, quote, his children, unquote, and make them understand what he didn't receive from his father, he now was giving to his children. He was bringing them back to the Lord. Remember that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7. Well, this is what Josiah was doing. Josiah was trying to stir off the cobwebs of foolishness. He was not only purging the land from the wickedness and the hypnosis of idolatry, but he was trying to get them to go back into reason, to come back to their minds and their hearts to the Lord. And observe how Scripture says once again in verse 3, that his testimonies and statutes, he followed them with all his heart and all his soul. But then he made the people commit as well. He led by example. He took the hammer himself and he began to nail the nails that would restore his home. And Josiah understood that if the Lord does not provide, if the Lord does not give, then he was going to be building in vain, like his father and grandfather before him. Josiah knew that it was necessary now for the people to return to God. It was necessary to put his home back in order. And he knew it was his responsibility. He knew that it was his responsibility to fix what his father had broken, to repair the damages that were caused by his family. And Josiah, being wise, Josiah, being godly, took the matters into his own hands. And he repaired the torn relationship between God and his home. Once again, children, sometimes our parents will be the ones to tear the relationship. They'll be the ones who open the door and ask Jesus to leave. Many times their wicked decisions or their unwise direction is how they are the ones that put the strain and many times tear the bond between Christ and them. But you can make it right. You can repair the damages done. Do you remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 when the Apostle Paul speaks to those women who are married with non-believers? Do you remember how the Apostle Paul counsels them to remain with them, to stay with them? But then he also tells them, who knows, if through your godly conduct, you'll convert them. There is an example of where the head of the household was not leading properly and was perhaps putting a strain and putting a limit as to how much blessings from heaven could befall. The presence of God might have been in those women, but he was not there in the head of household. And as long as the husband was a non-believer, the wife was a believer, that home was divided. And we already know what Scripture says about a home divided. It will not stand. But notice Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, the advice he gives those godly women. Persist in your godliness. Sanctify them through your example. With your conduct, earn his heart and repair the damages done by sin. Restore the relationship between God and your head and allow the presence of God to return to your house. Josiah did exactly this. God's presence had long left Judah. During those two wicked kings that reigned, there was no way the presence of the Lord, who is holy, could remain in the city that had become so unholy. But when Josiah restores God's worship, when he returns what was deserved to God, we see how God returns to them. Because Josiah had cleansed the land. He had repaired the scriptural, or these temple, if you will, that belonged to the Lord. Because he knew and he understood the value and the importance of God being present in the home. But finally, we see that not only did he repair his broken home, he devoted his home to God. 2 Chronicles chapter 35. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 35, beginning at verse 1. Now Josiah kept a Passover to the Lord in Jerusalem, and they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. And he set the priests in their duties, notice, and encouraged them for the service of the house of the Lord. Then he said to the Levites who taught all Israel, who were holy to the Lord, put the holy ark in the house which Solomon the son of David, king of Israel, built. It shall no longer be a burden on your shoulders. Now serve the Lord your God and his people Israel. Prepare yourselves according to your fathers' houses, according to your divisions, following the written instruction of David, king of Israel, and the written instruction of Solomon his son. and stand in the holy place, according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, to brethren the lay people, and according to the divisions of the fathers' house of the Levites. So slaughter the Passover offerings, consecrate yourselves, and prepare them for your brethren, that they may do according to the word of the Lord by the hand of Moses. Notice verse 7. Then Josiah gave the lay people lambs and young goats from the flock, all for Passover offerings, for all who were present, to the number of 30,000 as well as 3,000 cattle. These were from the king's possessions. Notice how Josiah devoted his home to God. He made sure that what David and Solomon had prepared and what they had written would be used as it was supposed to be. He adhered to the God, to the word that God had inspired through David and Solomon. But he came and he encouraged the priests. And not only did he encourage them, we see in verse 3 and verse 4 how he assisted them, how he helped them with their burden. He removed from their shoulders those burdens that perhaps would have been used as another reason or another excuse not to follow the God of Israel. But that wasn't all. After he encouraged and assisted them, he leads by example. And from his own home, he provides so that no family would be left out from celebrating the Passover. He made sure that no one was left out of worship. He made sure that no home was left out of worship. He took matters into his own hands, and he devoted his entire home to the Lord God. No excuses, he told the Levites. No excuses, he told the priests. And notice how Josiah chose holy men to teach the people. And not only did he teach them, he removed any excuse that could have been made. Oh, I cannot celebrate the Passover because I don't have a lamb. I cannot celebrate the Passover because I have no cattle, I'm poor. I cannot celebrate the Passover because I'm lacking this or I'm lacking that. No, Josiah provided for everything. He commanded, but then he also provided. Sometimes, brethren, we want to demand and command our children to do the things that they need to do for the Lord, but we don't provide them with the tools necessary so that they can do it. We want them to be here at worship with us, but we don't provide them with the tools they needed. Sometimes we don't provide them with a solid, consistent example. We tell them to be godly, but then we're ungodly. We want them to be faithful, but then we're unfaithful. We want them to be steady, but we're unsteady. Josiah was not about to be asked or devote from his home what he himself was not willing to give, what he himself was not willing to do. And he provided. And because he provided, he was not demanding or asking something that they could not fulfill. He wasn't simply telling them what to do. He was helping them in achieving it. He was assisting them. He was there so that they could fulfill and celebrate the Passover that belonged to the Lord. When our children get to that age where they start wondering, well, why do we have to go to every Sunday? Why do I have to be there from the morning to the evening? Why is it that we have to be there Wednesday, Sunday? Why did Zach on Wednesday in his devotional say that we have to be here always? This is where we provide, like Josiah. We have to teach them. We have to explain to them. We have to guide them. But first, we should have already showed them in our own example. We shouldn't shun them or shame them for those questions. We should encourage those questions. We should worry when they don't ask anything. We should worry when they just go through the motions but never show any kind of genuine interest that they're seeking for the truth. Josiah was brilliant. No wonder Scripture says that there was no king like him or after him when it came to his devotion to God. Not even David. Not even David was able to compare himself to Josiah. And now we know why. Even though he had no guidance, even though he did not have a godly or reverent upbringing, it's interesting. Quite frankly, it's extraordinary how Josiah can reach such a level without any kind of background. And this is what made him so great. He did it on his own. He sought the Lord. And when he found him, he did not let go. Family values. What happens when they're not there? Does it justify my sinful life? Absolutely not. It's never too late to begin installing them. Just because you didn't receive them doesn't mean that you cannot give them to your children. Josiah did. Josiah was able to achieve it. He had the privilege to give his children an heirloom that he did not receive. Sadly, after Josiah dies in battle, his children follow the grandfather's steps. They lose the heirloom again. They didn't treasure it, and they didn't guard it. But Josiah, when he found it, he used it, and he used it abundantly. Now, my friend, you probably think, like we've said this evening, you're trying to adhere to the traditions of your fathers. But perhaps you've been thinking about that. You've been questioning that, and you've been looking with Scripture in hand how certain things don't make sense. There's nothing wrong with you seeing through Scripture that what your parents brought you up in is wrong. And there's nothing wrong with you wanting to seek the Lord because you want to be right. Do not let the sentimental value that you put upon the things that your parents built keep your salvation away from you. You have to blaze your own path. You have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, because you, on that day of judgment, are going to have to give an account for what you did or did not do while you were in the flesh. Trust me that on that day, you will not be able to tell God, well, my parents never gave me the example. Well, my parents were not faithful. Well, my parents did not provide guidance or teach me about the Bible. Because in my imagination, and it's just my imagination, I can see God bringing Josiah and asking him in front of you, what did your parents teach you? What did you learn? And why didn't you follow it? Josiah removes the justification of that excuse. But we want to help you find the Lord tonight. We want to help you not only find Him, but we want to help you learn how to hold on to Him and never let go. Don't you want to be added by the Lord tonight to His body? Brother or sister, perhaps your hand has loosened from His. Perhaps your faith has been shaky as of late. Perhaps you've lost sight of the Lord. And like the lost lamb, you cannot find Him. Well, if you call out to Him through the avenue of prayer, He will come to you but you have to be willing to call out. In other words, we are ready to pray for you. We are ready to carry you on our shoulders if you've been injured by sin. But not only carry you on our shoulders, cure that cut and nurse you back to spiritual health, if only you trust us to be holy and faithful to our God. If you are in either one of these conditions and are subject to the invitation call this evening, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing that hymn of invitation.